thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
You want to turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians and chapter 4. We will be reading verses 1 through 10 together. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, small g, the god of this age, the devil, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his own precious, infallible word. I wonder what it is that you value most in life. What things would you have that you treasure most within your life, within your home, or perhaps within your workplace? What is it that you treasure the most? Perhaps it's something that is very expensive that someone purchased for you on a special anniversary or occasion. And you treasure that more than anything else. Perhaps it's something that's of no real value to anyone else, but to you, it's special. To you, it is treasure. Our late queen, her coronation crown is of inestimable value. Yeah, they can't really put a firm value on it, but they reckon that probably it is somewhere between 3 to 5 billion. So if you have that sort of money, perhaps someday it'll come up. I don't know. The diamond, that single diamond in it, is worth around 400 million. Imagine that on your finger. Yes. It is treasure. But for those who have read and who have looked into, you will know that that was not the greatest treasure that she had, that she possessed. She possessed a treasure of greater value than her coronation crown that estimated perhaps 3 to 5 billion, or a diamond worth 400 million. When Paul looks in this passage, he considers us as like earthen vessels. That what is what he likens us to. He isn't speaking in disparaging terms about the body or viewing it merely a receptacle for the soul, but Paul simply compares the value of God's light and glory and that which he deposits in us and the value that he chose to put his light and glory into. And so when you look at it from that context, you see that there is a great disparity between the wonderful value of what God deposits in us and the receptacle into which he deposits it. When you compare the two, it isn't hard to be amazed that God has put such treasure in earthen vessels. Clay pots, if you like. I didn't call you crackpots, clay pots. The first thing is the weakness of the vessel. The weakness of the vessel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. The commentator, Phillips, refers to the vessel that Paul speaks of as an incongruous vessel. What does he mean by that big word, incongruous vessel? What he means by this is that the vessel is not in keeping with the incalculable value of what it contains. Not many of us use jars of clay today in our part of the world. We may use some masonry jars, but they are far more robust. They are stronger than these vessels that Paul is speaking about. If we would have to relate back in time to that which was used and which is referred to by Jesus and by Paul to understand the weakness that he is conveying to us, the commentator Colin Cruz writes, earthenware vessels were commonplace in virtually every home in the ancient Middle East. They were inexpensive, cheap. In other words, they were easily broken. And unlike metal vessels, which could be repaired, or glass ones that could be melted down and repurposed, once broken, the earthenware vessels had to be discarded. They were thus cheap and of little intrinsic value at all. Now, Paul has already written to the Corinthian church in his first epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. He said this, he said, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose that which is weak in the world to shame the strong. God shows what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Now, Paul is not trying to say that we are of little intrinsic value. His point is that all of us, as conveyors and ministers of the gospel, we are weak. And we are easily broken. Even the apostles themselves were like earthen vessels, and this means that the best of us are but earthen vessels. We are but conveyors. We are but like clay pots. As a preacher once put it, the best of men at their very best are only men at best. And this fits the context of the passage because Paul goes on to describe the fragility of the vessel. Paul, in the next few verses, describes the suffering he had endured so that the light of Christ might be shed into the darkness of this world. And there are many weak vessels in our world today that are imprisoned. And they know their weakness and they know their fragility, but there is something that is within them whereby the power of God is emanating from them, emanating from a weak vessel. You may be saying to me this morning, you know, I am but me. I am not much. Sometimes people have inferiority complexes. Sometimes it is just that you feel that you are weak in body and that you feel that perhaps your witness is of little value, but you have to look deeper and you have to look into a different perspective because you are weak and I am weak. We are but weak pots, but it is that which is deposited within us, the mighty power of the Holy Ghost and the gospel of light that is powerful to a dying world. It is that which we can convey, being weak in ourselves. The power of God can flow because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Somebody say treasure. Treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. One would have thought that God would have provided some imperishable, some magnificent receptacle for such precious treasure as the light of the gospel. He could have sent a legion of mighty angels to proclaim the good tidings of the gospel until every corner of this world had heard and heeded. But not so, not so. He chose earthen vessels. He chose those who were weak and those who are despised in this world. He chose those. He chose you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The word Paul uses for vessel is the Greek word ostrakonos, which comes from the meaning of a potsherd. It seems an incongruous vessel, as the commentator Phillips put it, for so great treasure. You and I are the vessels that he has chosen. We would have to admit that even though we have the knowledge of Christ and his gospel, if we take our gaze off him, we are so easily broken. Throughout our lives, fragility is both physical and it is spiritual. We know that physically we are breaking down. We know that physically our vessels are failing and growing weaker. We come to a point, I know, where when we are growing up and we get to that stage where our immune system is fully matured as teenagers, but then we get beyond that and we think that we are strong and we can conquer the world, so to speak, and then we get older and things start to go wrong. And as someone once said, when you get in a rocking chair and you can't quite get it going, you know that you are getting fragile. But we have something within, something of power. Regardless of our physical frame, we know that our physical frame, that one day, should the Lord not rapture his church, one day we will not hear, but someone will hear those words spoken over us. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But I trust that the next words will be true of you. In sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. Because if those words cannot be said, then what you are waiting for is the resurrection to damnation. In other words, the resurrection where you will stand before the one who is the judge of all the earth. God, the scripture says that God judges no man but has committed all judgment to the Son. So the one who looks at you and says, I love you, come to me and I will give you rest. The one who now is your Savior will also be the judge of all at the end. The one with whom all have to do. So I trust that you have that experience, that you have received Christ as your Savior, and you have this treasure within you so that you know that should you pass from the scene of time, that it is absent from the body. It is present with the Lord. It is the resurrection to eternal life. The commentator Phillips, again, I like this. He refers to the treasure Paul speaks of as the inconceivable voltage. So from the incongruous vessel to the inconceivable voltage. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. That the excellence may be of the power may be of God, but not of us. God provides us people with the knowledge of the glory of Christ for one purpose. For his glory. For his glory. And he will not share it with another. The pointing to the power of God is a consistent theme throughout the scriptures, friends. It is to make sure that his people not only believe in who he is, but it is also to increase their trust in what he is doing for you and through you to the glory and honor of his name. But it is only as you will lay down your own strength, which is utter weakness in the spiritual dimension, it is only then that the power of God can flow and will flow. He who gave you life is the same God who indwells you with his life-giving Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Paul tells us what any right-thinking person should already know. You are weak. But then he reassures us, don't worry, God is strong. Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, 3 to 5, I was with you in weakness, in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul also declared in this 2 Corinthians that we read in chapter 13, verse 4, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And you've got to apply this to everything in life. You have to apply this in the Ukraine crisis. You have to apply this in everything in life, whatever this world is throwing up, to know that sure, you are weak, but you have a God, a mighty God, an almighty God, and he dwells within you by the power of his Holy Spirit so that you can do all things that he requires of you to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, said Paul. The words of Paul to the Ephesian believers should also encourage you no end. In Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 19, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul and his co-laborers in the gospel were constantly being brought to a point of weakness and total dependence upon God. Whether they were arrested or whether they were beaten or whether they were mocked or stoned or just rejected, it is a constant reminder that they understand that their weakness was for the purpose to display God's glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Commentator John MacArthur explains, the treasure in view here is the same as the ministry in verse 1. Both terms describe the glorious gospel message that the eternal God came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ and died on the cross and rose again from the dead to provide forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all those who repent of their sins and receive him as personal Savior. The treasure, he said, is of incalculable worth, because in Christ are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. We see this treasure in verse 6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus taught a parable, didn't he? We read about it in Matthew 13, verse 44. Just a very brief parable. Really condensed, isn't it? He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That is treasure that is worth more than anything in this world. Have you got it? Have you got this treasure in earthen vessel? This is the treasure that has been hidden and has been revealed to us and revealed in us. This is the treasure that is worth giving up everything, laying down everything for. The treasure that has been given to us is the treasure of salvation through faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in the deposit of the Holy Spirit that he places within us. Paul says, we have this treasure. Who all has this treasure? Paul and his gospel partners have it, but also we have it. Those who have received this knowledge of the light of Christ, who have received him as personal Savior, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. And he wants the church at Corinth to understand it. Whatever you're going through, when you're hard-pressed, when you're perplexed, when you're persecuted, when you're struck down, when you're carrying about in the body that sense of the dying, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. God's power is revealed in human beings who in the eyes of the world are just clay pots, of no account, insignificant, little value. A company of uneducated fishermen follow Jesus. and filled with the Holy Spirit, they spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. We see in Acts 1:8, there is abundant power at our disposal, and there is absolute power at our disposal as well. Not just abundant, but absolute. Absolute. The word here for excellency is hyperbole, which means abundance or exceeding greatness. The word for power is dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from, which signifies unhindered, unequaled, unparalleled power. And Paul emphasizes that the excellencies of the power may be of God and not of us. We have to learn and relearn and relearn and relearn not to go at things in our own strength, but to come and say, Lord, I am weak and I need you. Oh Lord, how I need you. We sang it. And to rely on him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can even ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the treasure in earthen vessel. You know, in this world, we are so often drawn to the things with the best packaging. But the best gifts often have the most unlikely packaging. God did not see a need to package Jesus as a royal king riding down from heaven in chariots to come into this world to say, I'm going to save the world. No, he packaged him in human frame as a weak, helpless babe. Human frame, he packaged him. That's how he did it. Jesus was not embarrassed to live in an earthly package, an earthly vessel, and say, I'm hungry. I thirst. And to suffer incalculable pain and suffering on our behalf. God came to us, veiled, Emmanuel, God with us, God veiled in human flesh. He was not embarrassed to use clay pots like the disciples who were weak and when it came down to it said, oh, I give up, I go fishing. Have you been there? And you said, Lord, I can't take any more. I'm going back to what I know and what I can do in my own strength. The best, I go fishing. How many times do we turn to what we know we're comfortable with and we can do in our own strength? And God says, no, 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 no. You do it in your own strength. You'll get the credit. But it has no real spiritual value. But you lay all down and you do it in my strength. You just reveal the treasure that is within. I'll bless that, says the Lord, and I will be glorified. Most assuredly, I say, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Are you willing to lay it all down? Are we willing just to surrender and say, Lord, whatever's going on in this world, I just trust in you. And Lord, I want this light, this deposit you have placed within me to be a burning, shining light to those of my family, to those whom I work with, to those in my community, to those around me. I just want them to see you, Lord. You know, in the story of Gideon, it was in the breaking of the vessels that the light was able to shine. And none of us, truth be told, really want to be broken. Not really. But I remind you, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Broken for you and for me. But if you want to graduate to the next level that you perhaps aspire to or talk about, you're going to have to first lay it all down and say, Lord, I'm willing to go back on the potter's wheel. I'm willing for you to recast me on the potter's wheel and to reshape me into a vessel that's fit for your use. I'm willing to be broken that the extraneous matter that is a hindrance to the light shining, your gospel flowing forth from me, the hindrance, I'm willing for it to be removed. I'm willing, Lord, for you to do surgery, that it will be removed, that I might be a vessel that will be fit for your use to carry that light of the glory of Christ. So the weapons of Gideon were unconventional, a trumpet in every man's hand and a clay pot, a clay pitcher in the other, and under the cover of darkness, of course, they went down silently, and at just the right time, they blew the trumpets and they broke the pitchers and the light shone. And I tell you, that is what defeated the enemy, not the strength of Gideon or his 300 men. It was the light that shone when the pitchers were broken, when they'd laid it all down and said, Lord, this is crazy, but we'll do it. And they declared the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Are you willing to surrender your will and ways to the Lord's will and ways so that his light can shine through you for his glory? And it may shine through cracks of sickness, or through cracks of brokenness that you wish you never had to endure. But Joseph would never have made it to second in command in Egypt unless he'd been to the pit and to the prison and come out a rebuilt man. The last half of verse 7 truly gives the reason that we've been left as earthen vessels in order that the ministry will have to depend on God for the power to perform his work, and therefore the glory will go to God. The commentator James Denny writes this, and I'm going to finish. The kingdom of God has not changed its administration since the first century. Its supreme law is still the glory of God and not the glory of the clever men. And we may be quite sure it will not change. God will always have his work done by instruments who are willing to have it clear that the exceeding greatness of the power is his and not theirs. Are you willing to submit your life such that the success of the gospel will be credited Now, I know that this is counter to much televangelism. I understand that. Where men want to be seen and want to become millionaires. But they've forgotten the principle. They've got the reward. They've got all the reward they're going to get. It is as we come as clay vessels, recognizing our weakness and our fragility, recognizing that everything that we have is of Him. And that's what we want to give out. Of Him and His power and His excellency, of His grace. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen.
And your love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.